Scott, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Commission.
Good morning, good morning. I hope the sun is shining on you as nice as it is out here at Roma today.
A very, very nice morning here.
Okay. All right. We'll get started here with Roma Municipal Utilities Commission meeting on Monday, October 14, 2019 at 11:44. I call this meeting to order. Okay, first thing is our agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to our agenda? Hearing none, agenda is as printed and sent out. The next item on our agenda will be approval of our consent agenda, which includes our minutes from our September 23rd meeting and our bill payment listings. And I would entertain a motion for the resolution to accept the meeting minutes and the bills as presented.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion to accept that resolution for the consent agenda. Discussion.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
One comment on the bills on page 2. Yeah, the very first line item, the Hurricane Dorian. It shows there that we have expended $2,495. Our actual dollar amount invoice that Denise worked with staff was here in MMUA is right around $24,000. So we should be reimbursed for full expenses once we receive a check for that invoice. Other than that, I have no additional comments on the bills.
Okay. Well, that's... We'll watch the mail. Yeah, it looked like pretty routine things. A couple of capital items there for projects, but seem to be within line and what's expected. Anyone else? Any issues with the bills? Okay, go ahead and roll call, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, that motion for acceptance of the resolution for consent agenda items carries. Okay, then we'll let our Director of Finance, Ms. Rungate, share the information about the audit that's coming up, that will come up.
Thank you. Our previous RFP went through year 2018 on our audit, so we again sent out RFP invitations for audit services for the next 3 years for 2019 through 2021. Sent it to the same list we have in previous years. I've just kind of summarized the responses that we received. Conway, Duth & Smoozing is the top one. They sent prices for each of the 3 years. Currently, we pay them $18,000. They held 2019 at the same rate, and then just small increases for the two consecutive years. Anfinson, Riley & Thompson, we did not receive a response. Christensen & Associates did respond to us, but they declined to bid because they do not perform their audits in accordance with government accounting standards. Westberg Eichens also did not respond. Ide Bailey, at the time we put the summary together, had not responded, but I did get an email from them later thanking us for sending it to them. However, their schedule is quite full, and from our previous discussion with them 3 years ago, their question was is if we were unhappy with who we currently utilize. My answer was no, and so they just felt it wasn't worth their time to bid on it. And then McGladrey LLP, now they're RSM, they also declined to bid because they do not have a strength in the municipal utility area. So with that, my recommendation is to approve the next 3 years auditing services with Conway, Duth & Smoozing.
Okay, any questions? And again, this does require a resolution to go with that audit service. It looks like we've covered local as well as from distance and without the responses. I'll make that motion to accept the resolution for your recommendation of Conroy, Duth, and Schmiesing. And I look for a second from someone.
Second.
Okay, three of them are going to get it done now. Roll call, please, Bill.
Clearly. Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lammer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Okay, that carries. The next item on our agenda is our September wind turbine report, and we'll call on our facility maintenance supervisor, Mr. Marty, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you can see, for September, the total kilowatt hours output was 426,860. So we're seeing a little bit of a rebound back where we should be. August and September, the kilowatts on number four you'll see is quite low because we had wind turbine blade repairs on that turbine. And then on both turbines in the end of September, we did our annual maintenance. You remember in the past that was done twice per year. We're actually moving that to just once per year in the fall. So that will save our crews some time and a little bit of money on maintenance costs each year. That was the reason for the turbines not producing. For the year, that brings us up to 4.384573 total kilowatt hours output. So we've got some catch up to do. We're hoping for a windy October, November, December. If you would like, I can delve into some wind turbine blade repairs. The question that you all wanted to ask in the bill payment listings. So the wind turbine blade repairs on Tower 4 are complete. We had shared with you last month some pictures of additional damage. We ended up having a few more beyond that. So the bill payment listing that's in the bill payments today is $58,426. That will complete all the repairs on turbine 4. For turbine 3, there was about an estimated $18,000 and $19,000 of repairs that were on the schedule still, and that is similar to what was supposed to be on the schedule for turbine 4 before they found additional repairs. So we felt, being the time of year it was, and what happened to us on turbine 4, that we were going to send the contractor away and then kind of revisit how we want to approach turbine 3's repairs. I would like to be regrouping and reach out to a couple of different vendors and probably have them fly those blades again so we get an accurate estimate before we send them up there. And it turned out that it worked out okay because ever since they've left, we haven't had the best weather, the temperature and wind and rain. We've been paying standby charges. We were able to work with Wanza Construction and have them reduce their original invoice was in the mid-60s. So we're able to get them to reduce their invoice and drop some of those standby charges because they ended up coming late. So they worked with us a little bit on that. But obviously much more than we had expected. So more to come in 2020.
Would you anticipate that those charges for the repairs and stuff, since you know they're getting older all the time, that we'd see those kind of costs?
I wish I had the answer to that. I guess I could anticipate turbine 3 being similar to turbine 4's. You know, some of those costs, like I say, we incur with standby charges, so the actual repairs might have been, you know, or were less than this. If we had beautiful, sunny, perfect weather, no wind, you know, we'd pay less, but that's part of the nature of that contract. That's one of the items that we'll look at. If we go back to this company or choose another, would be to get that up front figured out. In comparison, did reach out to Olympia and talked about actually just, you know, what, so now we're talking about actually just replacing the blades. Are there blades available? They do actually have a set of three blades in Oklahoma. They're about $150,000 each, not including how to figure out how to get them here. And they've been laid on the ground for about 12 years, so he wasn't real confident that of the condition. They've been laying in the sun out in the on the ground for that long. So obviously they'd want to have an engineer look at them. So makes me feel a little bit better about spending money to repair these. But halfway through the life cycle on the wind turbines, we're hoping to that the repairs will get us another 8-10 years. We'll just keep a close eye on them.
And again, over the years, if you were to say, because they've gone up and down and different things, you know, looking at how much maintenance, have you seen an increase over time with them?
Well, this is the first time we've done any blade repairs. It was kind of something that was overlooked. I don't think that it was ever on the nobody ever thought of it, I guess I could say. As we had talked with Olympia, you know, once they took over DeWinn's assets a year and a half, 2 years ago, the conversation came up, and that's when we thought, well, we better get somebody up here and look at these, and that started last year. So it would be something that we would put in our budget maybe every other year to have a company come out and actually inspect them and then advise what needs to be done. So I would anticipate we're going to have to keep spending some money on these blades to keep them intact. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for the report. Answering questions. Any other questions? Commissioner Mandarin.
Thank you, Madam President. Kevin, just for clarity, as I look at the bills here, the payment that we made them for the blade repairs, excuse me, is that for T3 or T4?
T4. It was actually a misprint in the bill listing.
Okay.
I'll take responsibility for that.
I just wanted to check that because I just noticed that now and I was a little confused. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, question. I struggle with this every month when we look at this. Is the availability, to me, the availability for the blades is, or for the wind turbines, is when it's available, when it's in use, and then to show 92% on blade 4 when you get blade repairs, I don't know that I get an accurate picture of that. I don't know if I'm the only one that struggles with that or not.
Thank you, Ross, for that question. We actually, Jaron and I just spoke about this during a car ride here last week about that and what goes into the availability. Right now, anytime that the wind turbines are marked down for maintenance, like today they're finishing up some of the annual maintenance, changing some oils. So anytime they're down for maintenance, the guys can mark them as in a certain category and it doesn't hit your availability, when in theory it should. You can argue it both ways. So the availability percentage, and I didn't really touch on it in the report because in my honest opinion, I agree with you. If they're not available, they're not available. So, you know, that easily could have been, especially turbine 4 with the blade repairs was maybe only available 10 to 15% of the time. So it's a feel-good number, I think, and we need to make some changes currently for that, and I'll be talking with the guys about how they're marking the turbines out when they're actually not available to produce.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Madam President.
With these blades, you know, we're looking 20 years. Would you, if you keep the repairing the blades, can you look at more than 20 years on these turbines, or what's going to be the determining factor as to how long they're going to run?
I wish I had an answer for that. Honestly, I really don't know. It's kind of new territory. I think it's something that the wind turbine industry in general in the United States is, you know, not that far off of age of what our wind turbines are. There are some that are older, and some they just certain wind energy companies don't do any repairs. They just let them buck for 16, 18, 20 years, and they take them down, throw them away, or they fall apart. So I mean, the goal obviously is to keep repairing them as needed and get beyond 20 years. And I think structurally the units themselves are able to do so. You just, it's like paint on the car. If you're gonna not wax it once in a while and clean the car up, it's gonna rust quicker and hole. The blades are the same thing. You gotta maintain them. Wish I had a crystal ball.
Commissioner DeBleek, and I might expand on that a little bit too, if Kevin don't mind. But Kevin, you know, we do a nice job of maintaining them. Our guys do a nice job. Potential driver decommissioning them turbines is going to be more than likely parts availability. But we're already struggling to find parts for our turbines. So that's probably going to be the driver. The day is going to come when something's going to malfunction or fail out there, and Kevin and his guys are not going to be able to find the parts. Is that a correct statement, Kevin?
That'd be a correct statement.
Yeah.
I know, for example, you'll see an invoice next time for some, and you know, there was one this time for some wind turbine oils. For example, the oils that were originally made for those wind turbines were special Azolla and Mobile oils. And the only reason that the oils were ever created was for wind turbines, is what we found out. Which seems strange, because we were paying upwards of $3,000 to $4,000 for a 55-gallon barrel of oil. That's ridiculously expensive. We've actually been able to find replacements because that original stock is just absolutely gone. So this year, instead of spending $15,000 on wind turbine oils, we spent about $6,000. So I mean, it's still expensive stuff, but that's just how rare these things are, is that there were certain parts and pieces, and even down to the oil that was created just for these wind turbines. Stuff's expensive and rare, so hard to find.
Go ahead. Kevin, to follow up on Commissioner Magnuson's point, it seems that the availability right now is more geared towards judging and measuring some sort of a failure rate rather than...
Correct. I would say that it's based on the fact that outside of us taking it down ourselves to maintain something or go up and do a sample, a weekly check. They go up for a couple hours each week and check fluids and those kind of things. You know, in their viewpoint that, yeah, the turbine is still mechanically and at the ready and could produce if they didn't turn it down for that. So they argue that, well, it's still available. And in the other viewpoint is that if we take it down, that means it's not available if the wind's blowing. So
I guess I would like to see if we do change that formula on how we measure this, that maybe we show both or the reason for it being down. I think it's important to know, is it down because we're taking it down for maintenance, or is it down due to a failure, an overheat or a failed board or whatever it might be. So I think knowing that failure rate is still an important factor to have available.
Yeah, I think we could certainly supply that and have the, we could even by week or by month add that to the wind turbine report, the time that we actually took it down and the time it was down for a fault or failure, that sort of thing.
Yeah, right now, as I've read this in the past, this is the only way that I have of really gauging whether it's available due to some kind of a failure or not. So I think we would not want to lose that feature.
Yeah, we can pin into some accuracy there.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
Welcome.
Other questions? Hearing none, again, we'll look forward to some of that information that's been requested as we go on and what you can determine there. All right, then we'll let our general manager, Mr. Herring, update us on the Missouri River Monthly Board Meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll let their summary that we received from Missouri River and the video speak for itself. However, I do want to point out item number 6 on the board's summary, written summary, that the board has set rates for 2020, and there will be no increase to our S1 rates, which is our standard rates for our power supply and energy. So we'll
What's that?
I'll ask Michelle to start the video, please.
Which outlines activities that are needed to achieve the goals of our strategic plan. Next, board members discuss potential new member services that are being explored. They are cyber and physical security support, strategic planning and meeting facilitation, leadership training, and customer information and billing systems. Also in August, the board approved a purchase power agreement, or PPA, with Rock County Wind Fuel, LLC, with the output of 2.5 megawatt wind turbines that will be built near Laverne, Minnesota. The wind turbines will be directly connected to the Jingle plant in Laverne to facilitate Jingle's need to meet California's low-carbon fuel standard. In conjunction with this PPA, a renewable resource contribution agreement was approved with the City of Laverne to compensate Missouri River for a portion of the cost of the energy purchases associated with the PPA. Next, the board approved two distribution maintenance service agreements. The first is with the City of Lakeville, Minnesota for full services. The second is with Hillsboro, North Dakota for project-based assistance on an as-needed basis. Both agreements will take effect in late 2019. Missouri River's board next authorized the staff to enter into a contract with one or more counterparties in the Mid-Continent Independent System Operating Market to purchase up to 35 megawatts of around-the-clock energy and up to 25 megawatts of on-peak energy for a term of up to 5 years. The board's also heard a report on the scope of the federal affordable clean energy rule that will replace the Clean Power Plan. It was determined that the Clean Power Plan exceeded the Environmental Protection Agency's statutory authority. Finally, the Member Technology Committee reported to the boards on the proposed new electric vehicle program. The September meeting, the board approved the electric vehicle program. It will begin in January 2020 and include EV education, residential home charger incentives, and member public charger incentives. Also in September, it was announced that Moody's Investors Service had affirmed its AA3 rating with a stable outlook for Western Minnesota. Moody's pointed positively to the continued low-cost power supply, sound financial policies, debt service coverage, credit quality of member systems, and Missouri River's diversified generation mix. Following that, the board authorized the staff to proceed with activities to refund existing bonds using taxable bonds, which are currently being sold at very favorable rates. If those rates hold, it could mean significant savings. Board authorization for such refinancing will be requested once final pricing is received. Next, Missouri River employees reported on their work aimed at addressing areas for potential improvement that were identified in employee surveys. The areas include an employee culture statement, performance management and individual development plans, internal cross-departmental communications, and administration of policies and procedures. The board next began discussions relating to principles to provide a practical approach to clean energy with net carbon reductions, while still providing for high reliability and stable rates. Finally, the board approved recommendations from two of its committees. The Finance Committee recommended rates and budgets for 2020 that included no increase in the S1 rate. The Finance Committee's report also included 2020 pricing related to advanced metering infrastructure and smart grid technologies. Rates, budgets, and the new services will be discussed with members in greater detail during the area meetings in October and November. The board also approved the Personnel Committee's recommendation on 2020 wages and benefits. Please join us again next month as we report on activities from the October board meeting.
I have just one question. When we talked about the clean energy standards and the power plant and stuff, and I know that APPA has filed a suit on those, did any of that come up in discussion at the board meeting? On the status of that, of the filings?
No, not in great detail, but Missouri River is part of the filings.
Okay. But nothing more. I know it takes forever on those legal things, but I just wonder if any discussion come up. Okay. Thank you. And then we'll go on to our general manager's report. Mr. Herring, please.
Hey, thank you, Madam Chair. In addition to what all listed there in our general manager's report, current events, dates, Denise and myself attended the city's finance committee meeting last week, Thursday evening, and we presented our resolution and proposed ordinance for adjustments to the finance committee. They have set the public hearing for November 4th, which will coincide with the city council meeting. So the bulk of our discussion pretty much centered around what is the appropriate response for $4 that presently we collect, send over to the city, that's identified for utility improvement charges. So don't know if that's going to be the main discussion at the public hearing or not, but we indicated that we did not set that rate over at the utility, that is a city rate, and that the city will be responsible for answering those questions if they come up. So, and then in addition to that, 2020 APPA rally, if anybody wants to go to that at this point in time, we have Commissioner Lamar, Commissioner DeBlee that have indicated that they would like to go to it, and November 1st, the rooms will become available, and we probably have all of about 3 days to secure the rooms, and they'll be booked up. So we have the rooms for, we have three rooms right now, so if anybody else would want to go to it, please let Beth know so that we can get you on the list. So when we receive notice here around November 1st, we can get another room or two if needed. That would conclude my report, unless there's questions. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or that? That impact leadership workshop, that's going to be are we allowed to sit in on any part of that, those workshops?
We've talked about it at staff level. We also talked about it with Joe Smith to see what kind of feedback he would have from other places he gave presentations, whether boards, commissions, sat in on it, and all that influence, input from staff. And that's a good question. I will get back to you on whether commissioners should be present or not there.
Yeah.
We need to further discuss that internally.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Anything else to come before the commission today? Any questions? Any further discussion? Hearing none, meeting is adjourned.